Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been giving a series of messages on the subject of the spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord. I have pointed out before that the spiritual sacrifices are just as important to God as any other thing we do for God. Many times, and this was true in the Old Testament as well, many times the things we do for God become a substitute for the heart sacrifices we offer to God. And in God's Word, the two things seem to go together. In the Old Testament, they were commanded to offer physical sacrifices to God, blood sacrifices to God. These blood sacrifices were very important to God. They were not only a reminder of their sin, none of them, of course, cleansed them from sin, but they were a reminder of sin, that they had deep sin before God. They needed a Savior. They needed someone to forgive their sins. They were also important to God because they were a picture of the coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Himself. How wonderful it is, those of you who belong to Jesus, who have trusted Him as your only means of salvation, your only way to heaven, how wonderful it is to know that Jesus died for our sins. He shed His precious blood that we might be cleansed from our sins. So these things were important. God commanded them to offer sacrifices. However, they soon learned that it was easier to offer sacrifices than it was to give to God the sacrifices from their hearts. In all of these things, they found that it was so easy to simply pick out a few cattle from their herds, offer them, and then go ahead in their sinful ways. And so God spoke to them a number of times about this problem of substitution. He talked to them about obedience, about thanksgiving, about brokenness. We mentioned many of these things. Today, I want to talk about the sacrifice of knowledge of God. The sacrifice of knowledge of God. In the book of Hosea, chapter 6, we read these words in verse 3 and in verse 6. In verse 3 of Hosea 6, we read these words, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. We will know His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain under the earth." This phrase from verse 3 is this, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." And then in verse 6, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than offerings." There is a very important truth in these words, and this truth is echoed in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 has this to say, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This is a lifelong pursuit. There have been books written on this subject of knowing God, and it's a lifelong pursuit. It needed to be for the people of Israel. Sometimes, when they would hear the truth of God would be read to them. It would be read from the law. And this law would be read in their presence. They were to study it. They were to meditate on it. They were to have it written on their gates. We read this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It was to be written on their gates. But especially God wanted this knowledge of God to be written on their hearts, because the law told them about God. It told them of God's holiness. It told them of God's majesty, of His power. It told them that God could be trusted. It told them that God loved them very dearly. It told them of the mercy of God, of the forgiveness of God. It told them of God's attributes, how God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is everywhere present. He has an unchanging nature. It told them so many things about God. And the problem with the Israelites is they became used to this knowledge. The law was no longer precious to them. It no longer meant anything in their lives. They had it written down. They had copies of it. they had written on their gates, and they were to teach it to their children. But neither they nor their children loved this knowledge of God anymore. It simply didn't mean anything to them. There is a danger in our lives as Christians today that we will get so used to the knowledge we have of God that we will make one of two errors. Either we will feel we know enough and we don't need to learn anymore. This is very often true. People read their Bibles and they no longer meditate on the Word. They no longer search the Word to know more about God, to know more about God's purposes, about His workings, about His relationships with men, about what God expects of us, and some of these other great truths about God. But they just come to the conclusion, I've been a Christian so many years. I've heard so many sermons. I've heard so much teaching from the Bible. I've read the Bible so many times. I simply have nothing else I could possibly learn from God. And so this is one danger they face. I have learned even at my age, and I would confess I'm old enough to be the grandfather of many of you, especially the young people who might be listening, or the young couples who might be listening to this broadcast. But I would confess that at my age, I still have this need to get more knowledge of God. As I look back through these years, God laid upon my heart many years ago to study through the Bible yearly, to go clear through the Bible yearly, and to not do it carelessly, but to take 3 or 4 chapters a day, to spend time in meditating on these chapters. But God has had to warn me, and that is that every year, when I go through the Bible again, He wants me to learn new things about Him, new things about His purposes, new things about His working. And there is this danger that I face at my age. I've read the Bible so many years. These are familiar truths. I know them already. What more could the Holy Spirit teach me from the Word? And so until the day I face the Lord Jesus, God is warning me that I am not to stop in gaining knowledge concerning God. And so this danger comes to me as it does to you, this danger of feeling we know so much, we've heard so many messages, we've been under the teaching so many years, that God has nothing new to teach us. Peter had this to say by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God he was speaking. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is not just speaking to new Christians. He's speaking to all Christians, speaking to anyone who knows the Lord Jesus, however long they have known Him. In 1 Peter we read, as newborn babes desire the milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. In other words, we are to grow in knowledge. From the time we're saved, we're to grow. So newborn Christians are to grow. Just because they're saved does not mean they can stop. But they're to grow now in the Word of God and in the knowledge of God. And even as older Christians, now Peter speaks to them and he's saying, you are to grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. So no matter how old I am, spiritually, I am growing. I have not yet reached perfection. Some people believe in sinless perfection. Some people also believe in a perfection of knowledge. And none of us have this. We will always be tempted by sin. We will always need to overcome sin. And in knowledge, we always will need to grow. And so as you listen to this broadcast, I trust you will take this advice from the Scripture. Israel failed to heed this advice. They became hardened to the knowledge of God. They still had the law, but they were no longer growing in the knowledge of God. And this caused their love for God to cease. It caused their desire to follow God to cease, simply because they were not growing in the knowledge of Him. My prayer is that as you listen, you will continue to grow in the knowledge of God. And if you have stopped growing in this knowledge, that you will use this as an opportunity to renew your commitment again to the Lord, not only to follow Him and to love Him and to obey Him, but now to grow in knowledge of Him. And this growth will cause you to more deeply appreciate Him and more deeply to commit yourself to Him, more deeply to have the desire to praise and honor and exalt His name. And so I would pray this for you today. May God bless you, each one.